You can find the book of Matthew. Go to the left. You'll find Malachi. Then you'll find the little book of Zechariah. And then you'll find the two-chapter book of Haggai. We're going to be in chapter 1 of Haggai. Haggai chapter 1. I appreciate the men that are working on putting in the bathrooms in the back and working on those, getting them finished up. And they're doing a great job. And what we did is we had a room full of stuff there. And one of them was two pews. We had to find a place for the two pews, so we took the two pews and we had to put them in the front. So what happened, I didn't know if this would happen, but I saw it happen in my own eyes. Everybody came in, they started moving up toward the front, being just a little bit less Baptist by not sitting in the back and moving up more towards the front. That's not some kind of scheme that I've schemed up to try to get y'all to move up or anything like that. It's just kind of a blessing that we have a church that's pretty full, that we need more. We could use the extra space, amen. So that's a blessing. Praise God that that's where we're at today. And I thank the Lord we got men in the church that are willing to come work on the church and do that kind of stuff. That if you had me building that, we'd have an outhouse. That's all we'd have back there, I promise you. That's all I know. But we're going to be in Haggai chapter 1. We're going to start there in verse 5. This isn't a very profound message in any way. I'm going to preach a message that anything you probably never have heard before, but it's some things to think about and meditate on, but we need to hear them, and the Lord wants to remind us. So let's look at verse 5. Haggai chapter 1, verse 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. The Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you humbly, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, Father, I do pray, Lord, that we, with our hearts, Lord God, would consider our ways this morning, Lord God, what we're doing, what we're not doing, Lord God, what brought us in here, what's going to take us out. And Lord, I pray, Father, your Holy Spirit will lead, guide, direct us this morning into all truth, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, you'd hide me behind the cross, cover me in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, to be your words, not mine, Lord. But I pray, Father, that if there's anybody in this room that's not a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, Lord, when we give them the invitation, they'll come on down, Lord. But help us, Lord, as we go through your word and look at your words, Lord God, that we'd ponder on it, meditate on it, and consider it, what you have for us this morning. In Jesus Christ, holy name I pray. Amen. So the Lord God, through Haggai, tells Israel to consider your ways. We need to consider our ways. I'm going to give you this morning some things to consider. We're going to go through the Bible and talk about some things to consider. So let's define the word consider. Consider can be defined as simply just think about it. Just spend some time meditating on it. Think carefully. And the Lord God says, consider your ways. And he notices in verse 6, he gives a long list of you've sown much and bring in little. And at the end he says, he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. I felt that way in my life. I felt that way that I was always broke. And that helps when you're making $3 and something an hour. That helps to be broke. But the point is that sometimes you just got to consider. And it took my old uncle to tell me, well, put it down on paper. I'm always broke, you know, and he got tired of hearing me complain about me being broke all the time. I was like, well, write it down on paper. Write down how much you're making, and then write down your bills, and then you'll know how much money you have to spend. Well, I didn't like that. Why? Because I had like $15 to spend at the end of that, you know, when you do all that. So what happens when you do that? Well, you do what's the next best thing every American does. They get a credit card, right? You get a credit card, and then you start, you know, we got to have this, you got to have that. You got to have it, right? I just got to have that extra meal out at McDonald's or Taco Bell or some other place that's going to put you in early grade. You know, I got to have that. And I'm putting it on a credit card. And then my credit bill starts coming in. And then when I put the, then I get to complain that I'm broke again, I get to writing down on the piece of paper my input and my output. And my output's a whole lot more than my input. If you're in here this morning and you're always saying, I'm broke all the time, consider your ways. You know, Dave Ramsey has I'm not talking about Dave Ramsey's theological views on the Bible or anything. I don't know much about his theological views on the Bible. I will tell you this. Dave Ramsey has got some good stuff when it comes to finances. And He's got some good advice. But his best advice is basically don't go in debt. Now, I'll tell you what changed my life as being this way was there's two things that changed my life this way. Number one, I took serious tithing. Ooh, got quiet in here. So I took serious tithing. I just got serious about it. This is between me and the Lord. This ain't you. Do what you're going to do. Amen. Do what you're going to do. This isn't a sermon on tithing, but I personally, my testimony is, I got serious on tithing. And I said, I'm going to start tithing everything that comes in because I just got a conviction about it. And the Lord, I just started tithing. And I felt like the Lord blessed me for that. Number two, I think the Lord gave me wisdom to listen to my wife and get out of debt because I didn't want to do it. And my wife said, let's do this. So I just said, okay, let's get serious about it. And I paid off my car. And I paid some other bills off. And man, living debt-free is the best way to live. Now, have y'all come by and visited Brother Keegan's house lately? I live in a trailer house still. Do I want to live in that trailer house? No. But Brother Keegan sees what some of this land is going for, and Brother Keegan ain't going to pay that. I'm still living in the 80s. I think, you know, the price people are paying for cars, that's what I want to pay for a house. So, you know, you just got to consider your ways. And God's saying this, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Let's look at the context of what he's wanting them to consider. Look back at verse 2. And this is why he's saying all of this. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? See, they had been brought back, and I talked about this in Sunday school, they've been brought back into the land by Ezra and Nehemiah. God had called them back into the land, and when they came back in the land, everything was going great, but they had kind of let God's house go to waste. Let God's house go to waste. And they said, oh, it's not time to mess with God's house. It's not time to get serious about worshiping God. It's not time to worry about the temple. And God says, are you sure about that? Have you considered your ways? And then God gives that list that we just read. And I skip down to verse 8. God says, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. And I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified, saith the Lord. This has nothing to do with us recently talking about maybe expanding the church or anything. I promise you, this is not a sermon on that. What this is a sermon is the context of this is that they had put God second and themselves first. God was down on the list of what they want to do. So, it's not time. I want to focus on my house. I want to focus on what I'm doing. I want to focus. And God says, have you noticed how when you focus more on yourself, things aren't going right? Have you considered your ways? Have you considered your ways as you're doing everything for yourself and for the world and everything that you look at everything in your life and it's all falling apart? He says, maybe you need to think about me first and start putting me first. It's a time to build my house. He says, if you'll build my house, put me first, I will take pleasure in it and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You know why God created you? It's not to pay taxes. It seems that way, right? It's not to get a career. It's not to be a great family man. God created you to glorify Himself. He created you because He wants you to give Him the glory. And He give you a free will. There's nothing that pleases God to give you a free will where you can do what you want to do. And you turn around in that free will and say, Lord God, I love you. And I'm going to put all my things to the side, all my heart, all my wishes, I'm going to put them off to the side and I want to try to glorify you. You know what I've noticed? Now this is different being a pastor, but I've had to live it a lot. I've noticed the more that I've glorified the Lord Jesus Christ, all those desires of my heart, God starts giving them to me. It's amazing. And when I've worked for myself and tried to put God second, man, my life just fell flat apart. And when I said, you know what, I'm going to start just, God, I'm going to put you first in my life. And all those things that I put second, God made sure they happened and overabundantly. You know what Jesus said? He promised us, I'll give you life and I'll give it to you more abundantly. That's a promise. Consider your ways. Are you putting man's words before God's words? Are you putting man's words before God's words? Are you putting the fear of man before the fear of God? Are you fearing man more than you're fearing God? You know, Paul called out the Romans. He said, there's some that serve the creature They serve the creature more than the Creator. Talking about they serve themselves and mankind more than they serve God. Are you doing something for people because you want to be seen of people? Or are you doing something to help somebody because you want to be pleasing God? See, God looks at your heart. God looks at a man and woman's heart, not just what's going on the outside. God says, consider your ways. Deuteronomy 32, verse 29, God says something pretty amazing to Israel. He says, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Some things to consider this morning is that we're all going to come to an end. I don't care how young you are, it's coming to an end. And as I get older, my end's coming. And as I get older, like Sister Linda says, and she so eloquently said, a golden age isn't for sissies. Praise God. She taught me something. And I remember when I was in here and I was in my early 40s, it was like, ah, ha, 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 yeah, yeah. Now I'm living in 50s. Crying about it. She's so right. Oh, we're going to come to an end. And when you look back at that end, what's it going to say to God? I don't care what the world says. Oh, they were successful. They had this successful career. They were a college graduate. They did. What is God going to say about your timeline of life? Consider your ways. The Bible says in Proverbs 16, one of my favorite verses of the Bible, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. There's ways of death. Let's consider some more things. Look at Psalms chapter 8. Psalms chapter 8. Psalms chapter 8. Let's go to Psalms. Let's consider some more things this morning. I'll give you some things to consider. Psalms chapter 8. You know, the Lord's so good to us. The Lord's so good to us. I was thinking about that when Brother Wills was in here and Sister Wills was in here singing, and you had one sister get up there and she had cancer and was dealing with cancer and all the things going on. This young girl, she had to be in her mid-20s, all the stuff she's dealing with. And then Brother Wills gets up here and he's had his kidney took out, and his eyes blind, and it just thing after thing. His wife's had a stroke. She can't see out of her eye. One eye side of her eye. He was telling a story, poor Sister Wills, that she got up at a restaurant and walked over to a table and grabbed a salt shaker off a table, and there was somebody sitting there at the table. They didn't. She couldn't see him out of that eye, so she grabbed the salt shaker. And how embarrassing that was. Man, everybody's dealing with so much, but you know, it's amazing to see those people, and they stand up here and go, God is glorious. Jesus Christ is so good to me. I wondered, I honestly thought about that Friday as we're sitting in there. I was thinking, man, if somebody was in here and they didn't know the Lord, they'd probably think we were stupid. God's good to you? He gave you cancer? 3 times, you know? Lost your baby? She's talking about losing her baby and she's praising God for it. It just worked out. She goes, that was God's time, and I'm so thankful to the Lord that I had a miscarriage. I knew what she was saying, and I was amening her. They don't get us. The world don't understand us, do they? No, they don't. They don't understand us. Let's consider this. Psalms chapter 8, verse 3. Look what David says. We're studying David on Wednesday nights, but look what David wrote down in Psalms chapter 8, verse 3. David said, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? It's amazing. Some of us men were up here, and they were working their rear ends off on the bathroom. They'd come back here. We were actually at the back of the church working electricity when that solar eclipse hit, and it went completely black, and the ring are out there. It was such an amazing thing. And when you look at that, and you can see a couple of stars start popping out, it was an amazing thing. You know what I thought? I'm just a little speck of dust. You know what brought Brother Keegan to Jesus Christ? It wasn't really, I'm not saying it wasn't the preaching, it wasn't the Word of God, don't get me wrong, but what brought me to looking for God was standing out at nighttime, looking up at the stars and seeing those trillions of stars and thinking about how vast the universe is and how little I am. And I'm just a little nobody. And David says, when I consider the heavens and the work of thy fingers, God created all of this. God's working in all of this universe. And he's got all of this moving at the same time. And it's all working. And then here I am as this little nothing. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Have you considered that? You need to if you think you're a big shot. You need to consider that if you think you're somebody. Because we get this. We get in this little circle of in our little circle of friends or our little circle. We make a little world, right? And honestly, when you think about it, you're only, when you go, now Facebook has expanded this some, but if you really think about it, there's really not that many people that you're really influencing that's around you. And you start, people say, oh, I like them. Or I like, and you start thinking, oh, well, I'm a really big shot in here. And you're really a nobody. When you get further out, you get to be a nobody. And people really get the idea like, I'm somebody, you know who I am? You know who I am? You know, I've had people call me at work and say that. You obviously don't know who you're talking to. No, I don't. I don't. You know who you're talking to? You're talking to the pastor. No, I don't say that. Well, who cares who I'm talking to? No, really. I mean, God's working this great universe. Why would God care about you? There's 8 billion people on this earth right now. And there's how many are dying per day, per minute? And God cares about you? Yeah, he does. Well, I consider that. He says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visit him? Look at verse 5. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Verse 7, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. God's given us all of that. God's put man in charge of all of that. And it's amazing to think about that. You know what David says? His conclusion to all that is found in verse 9. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Amen. You know, the Lord's just good. You know, that's why I think Christians like Friday night can get up here with all the problems they're going through and say, praise God. Because it don't make sense to the world, but to us Christians, yeah, glory to God that he cared enough about me to save me. Because you know what I know? Christians deal with cancer. Christians, we're dealing with all the same problems the world's dealing with, but they don't have eternal life. And the reason why I give God the glory is no matter what's going on in my life, I know there's heaven waiting on me. Amen. And he was mindful of me. This little speck of dust, he was mindful of me. I'm just an ant in this huge universe. And God says, I want to save that little ant there. That's what makes this book amazing, is when you start reading this book, you start realizing this isn't about the 99 found sheep. It's about the one sheep that's lost. Amen. Praise God for that. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 6. Let's consider something else. Proverbs chapter 6. So David says you need to consider, if you're thinking you're a big shot, you need to consider really how small you are. Proverbs chapter 6. Look at verse 6. Let's look at the ant. Let's consider the ant. You know, there's really, now I know there is, but when I think about it, there's really nothing smaller than a little ant, you know, running around. But your wife ever get ants in the kitchen? Amen. Little bitty sugar ants? They don't like those little sugar ants in their kitchen, do they? Like, just leave them alone. And here's those little sugar ants running around there, causing havoc. I mean, how big is the little fire ant? Right? You step in that pile, you'll find out what it's like to mess with those little fire ants. Everybody hates those fire ants. Amen? God says, I want you to consider those ants. Look at verse 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Not sluggard. I love that word. It's somebody who's lazy, no good. When I was down in Pensacola, I had a brother in Christ, Mark Smith. He used to always pick on me and go, hey, sluggard, you sluggard, you know. After a while, I started catching on. I was like, man, don't be saying that. Everybody else is going to start calling me a sluggard. Just lazy, no good. He's, hey, you sluggard, you lazy, no good. Consider her ways and be wise. You want to be wise? Go out and watch the ants. You know, you can learn a lot by just watching animals, God's creation. Amen. Yeah, everybody in this room knows what it's like to dodge deer. Right? And what do you see? You're like, you're driving on the road, you're doing about 70 miles an hour, and then you see it in the headlights. Oh, don't move, don't move, don't move, don't move. That deer is sitting there. And it waits, it's like it's waiting for the lights right there. Okay, I'll jump. Dumb fear, right? It teaches you how what dumb fear will do to you. If that deer would have just stopped there and looked and thought about it, but it's got that dumb fear, you see it running along the fence. Anyway, indecisiveness. You ever considered squirrels? Run across the road, then run. I said, and then run. It's like, just get across, you know. You're trying not to run over it. God says, consider her ways and be wise. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. You know, she doesn't need, verse 7, she has no guide, overseer, or ruler. She doesn't need someone telling her what to do. Amen. This should really hit home to you Christians. Because, I don't know how many Christians, and I've been around a lot of good Christian men and women, that, you know, and I know I was in school with a lot of men that were going called over the field and everything. They'll come up to me, I just don't know what God wants me to do. I've been praying and praying. I don't know. And I know I'm kind of a hard. And I'm like, brother, just go do something. Just do something. Stop crying and do something. Said, well, God's not talking to me. Well, go somewhere where he can talk to you. Well, what do you mean? Well, just do something. Well, you're telling me just to go over to Africa. Well, maybe that's where he needs to get you before he can talk to you. Maybe you're over in America, and this TV's on, and this screen's on, and this radio's on, and your mother-in-law's going, talking to you, and your mom, your dad, and everybody else talking to you, and you can't make a decision for God. Maybe he needs to get you away over in Africa where you can sit there and go, and God say, okay, I got something for you. Just do something. The ant doesn't need somebody on it. Now go do this, now go do that, now go do this, now go do that, now go do this. But what if I do something wrong? You can fix it. But do something. You know, I know I hit on this not too long ago in my sermons, but man, as Christians sometimes, we're waiting around for God to show us what to do, and God's already told us what to do. Go. There's no more command to that. Go and teach ye the nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's the commandment. That's all Jesus said. He didn't say, now go, and I want you to build churches. Now, when you get the church built, I want you to put a gymnasium on the side. And when you get the gymnasium built, then I want you to put a coffee shop. And if you get good enough, we'll put a bowling alley. There's none of that in there. So when you're praying, God, I want you to show me, just do something for the Lord. Do like the ant. The ant's moving here, the ant's moving there. And he says, this sluggard, which having no guide, overseer, ruler, provided her meat in the summer and gathered her food in the harvest. I think what that says to everybody in this room that we should be self-motivated. And I don't mean yourself as in your flesh motivated. I mean, let the Holy Spirit move you and let's just go. And I say this all the time, and I hope, and maybe you hadn't heard this before, but when you're sitting in a car, and you say, I'm ready to go. Well, God can turn that steering wheel left and right. It ain't doing no good when it's not moving. You say, well, I want God to show me what direction I need to go. You get that car to moving and let God turn that steering wheel here. Let God turn it. But it don't do no good when you're standing still. Oh, God, show me where you want me to go. Just start moving. You'll be amazed how when you start moving, God will start directing you. And I talked about this the other day where Paul was, when he was moving, he said, man, I'm going over this way. I'm going over to Asia. God said in a dream, nope, you're not going there. You're going this way. But the point was, Paul was already moving. And God said, okay, you're doing something for me. Praise God. You're doing something for me. Now let's go this way. Let's go this way. You'll be amazing how God will close doors and open doors for you. Not while you're sitting on a couch. Look at verse 9. How long without sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Oh, here we go. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty be one that travaileth, and thy want is an armed man. See, this here, this sluggard about sleeping in and just going, and when I'm on vacation or when I'm not at work, I try to sleep in. So God forgive me. But the truth is that when you study this out through the Bible, you know when Jesus Christ was in the temple, he was teaching. Don't you want to be taught by the Lord Jesus Christ? I do. He came early in the morning and he taught in the temple and then he skedaddled and left. You had to get up early in the morning. You came to the temple. There's Jesus. He's taught for a little while and then he left and he went healing and doing all that. But you want to be taught of Jesus? You get up early in the morning. That principle goes all the way through that Bible. The Bible talks about Jesus Christ rising up early in the morning before the sunrise to pray. The Lord Jesus Christ was showing us That example of not being a slugger, being self-motivated, getting busy. Consider her ways. Let's look at the next one. Let's look at Luke chapter 12. I know that one. That one went over really, really well. I could see that y'all really love that. There's lots of amen and going on and everything. You know, we are in a church. You are allowed to say amen. Nobody's ever told me don't say amen that I've known of. But reason why I say that Friday night, boy, I got so excited that singing. I jumped up and I was amening and thanking the Lord and everything. And I looked around. I was the only one standing. I'm like, oh, man, they're going to church me out of here. I was getting pretty excited. I never apologize for glorifying Jesus. Amen. I'm never going to apologize for glorifying Jesus Christ. Because see, if you go to a football game with me, get ready. It's going to be the same way. If I'm at a football game and I like it, if my team's winning, I'm going to be, yeah, I'm going to be screaming and hollering. And if I can do that for a stupid football game, I should be able to do that for Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, look at Luke chapter 12. Let's look at verse 22. The Lord gives us a long discourse. The Lord Jesus wants you to consider some things here. Look at Luke chapter 12, verse 22. And this is Jesus speaking, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, the body is more than raiment, is it? Is your life more than what you're going to eat? Is your life more than what new shoes you're going to put on, what clothes you're going to buy? Because if you notice, a lot of people, that's their life. It's so, they even have a food network. Their life is so surrounded by food. That's all their life is food. I mean, have you thought about that? They're paying $5 for cookies. One cookie, not cookies. $7 for a cupcake. And they're liking it. Nobody's putting a gun to their head. My wife was talking about they brought in some fresh cookies. They just drove them in from Austin and they're fresh. Those aren't fresh cookies. Fresh cookies is when your grandmother baked the cookies and put them on the oven. You walked in the kitchen and you grabbed them right off the tray. That's a fresh cookie, amen. And she didn't charge you $5. At least my grandmother didn't. Praise God. There's more to life than food. More to life than what you're putting on. More to life than what your house looks like, what your car looks like. And the older I get, the more I realize that. Life is really about, for you personally, is about relationships. Your relationship with your family, your immediate family, with your extended family, and more importantly, with your Lord God, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what life's about. You can have all the cars, you can have all the houses, you can have all the money, but if you don't have a good relationship, life's miserable. You know what God tells us? It's better to live in the underneath the, like with just a little bit of food than to live in a big wide house with a brawling woman. I'm not picking on you women, but that's what the Bible says. It's about relationships. It's about, hey, I want to be happy. If I'm living in a card box, I want my life to be right with God. But the world don't tell you that. The world tries to convince you otherwise. Get bigger. Get better. Buy this new house. Buy this new car. What clothes are you wearing? What? Consider the ravens, verse 24. Jesus Christ says, consider the ravens. For they neither sow nor reap, with which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? Don't worry about food. I mean, God will take care of you. I'm not telling you to go sit on the couch and not do nothing and expect God to just send a raven into your house and feed you like he did Elijah. But he did do that for Elijah, right? There was this man that was being chased by the Catholic Church. They were trying to capture him and kill him. He was translating the English Bible, trying to translate the Bible into English. And he was running from the Catholic Church in this town. They hid him up in an attic. And he said when he hid up in that attic, every day this chicken would come up in the attic with him and lay an egg, one egg every day. And he stood up and that chicken would lay an egg for him every day. And he said, God was sending that chicken my way. And then on the last day, the chicken didn't show up. It came down and they were gone. And he escaped. I guess they ate the chicken then, right? Thank you, Chicky. Let's have fried chicken, everybody. That's like the ham. That's like the pig and the chicken walking by the church, and the preacher's preaching. You need to give something to God. You need to give something to God. You need to give something to God. And that chicken said, "I think we need to give. We need to give the for the people. We need to give them a fried egg and ham breakfast." And that pig said, "Man, that's just a one-time time for you, but that's a whole life commitment for me." You know, that's what that pig said. Oh. Verse 25, which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If you then be not able to do that which is least, why take you thought for the rest? You can't make yourself grow any taller. And God, Jesus Christ said that's the easiest thing to do, is make somebody grow taller. And you can't do that, so why are you worried about the rest? Verse 27, now he says, consider the lilies. Consider the ravens, now consider the lilies. How they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Some of y'all ladies have some real beautiful dresses on, but man, you walk out the back of this church and you look over to the left there and you see those roses, and there was a purple, what do you call that, Brother Gary? That purple flower that was out there. The iris, yes, it slipped my mind. That purple, boy, that thing is beautiful. And we didn't do nothing to it. We just show up one day and there it is. God said, I'm going to put that right there in front of my church. God did that. He'll do that for you too. Verse 28, if then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? See, what Christ is trying to point out to you guys is you need to consider your word about this and your word about that. You're doubting this, you're doubting that. And God, Jesus Christ in the end says, it's just about faith. You just have little faith. You're not believing that God can take care of you. I think it's a doctrinal issue that you don't understand, Christian, that now that you're saved, you're part of the family of God. And that now God is your Father. And now, see, you got to understand the concept. If God's saying, now I'm your Father, then what is a father's responsibility to do? Is to take care of the children. So now that you're a child of God, it's God's responsibility to take care of you. When you were a little kid running around, did you worry about the water bill, the electricity bill? Did you go in and worry about, is there going to be any food in the refrigerator? No, you didn't. As a kid, you just ran in there. You opened it up. There's food. Whatever's in there, you grabbed and ate it. You didn't worry about it because it was your parents' job to take care of that stuff. When you get to looking at God like, God, it's your job to take care of me. I'm going to do my part, but it's your job to feed me, to clothe me. You'll be amazed how God takes care of you. There's lots of woes in this church. I didn't see anybody come in here barefooted this morning. Purposely, you might have. Everybody had clothes on. Everybody looks like they're eating pretty well. I'm not trying to pick on you, but come on, guys, consider that. God's doing a pretty good job of taking care of us. Amen. Praise God. We need to be more thankful to the Lord for that. Look at verse 29. And seek not ye what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, neither be ye doubtful of mind. Doubtful mind. That's it. You're of doubtful mind. You're doubting God's going to work in your life. And then he says, verse 30, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your father knoweth that you have need of these things. God knows what you need, not what you want, necessarily, amen. We didn't always give our kids what they wanted, but we always gave them what they needed. If you're any kind of parent at all, what should you do then? The answer is verse 31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's my testimony. That's my testimony right there. Verse 31. I can tell you that worked in my life. That when I gave up the world and I said, you know what, Lord, I'm just going to seek you and seek your righteousness and try to do what you want me to do and turn my life over to you, God's given me a life more abundant. The position I'm in at my job, I have a pretty high position at the city. And the other day somebody was talking to me about that and they said, you're a high school dropout? I'm like, yeah, I'm a high school dropout. And I know what they were thinking, like, well, how did you? And I'm like, it's God. Yeah. It's God. It's God. It's God's favor. And I know it comes from God. Praise God. But I'm telling you my testimony, and I do what you're going to do. My testimony was, is first I sought out the kingdom of God. Rather ye seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. I wanted to seek God and get right with Jesus Christ. I'd had enough of the world when I was 20-something years old with death and its misery and sorrow. I was sick of that. I wanted something better, and I found it in Jesus Christ. Let me show you one last one. Let's go back to Psalms, and we'll close. Psalms 50. This is an important one, and then we'll close. Psalms chapter 50. One last thing to consider. You need to consider your ways. You need to consider the heavens, and you need to consider the ant. The Bible, Jesus Christ says we need to consider the ravens and the lilies. Consider nature, just nature in general. But look at Psalms chapter 50. One last one. Psalms chapter 50. You know, as you find in Psalms chapter 50, the Lord said in Isaiah, he said, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider." And that's a pretty astounding verse where Israel, God says, you know, the ox knows where to go back. You know, the dog, your dog knows where to go get fed at. Some of y'all have cats. Those cats will disappear, but it's dinner time, all of a sudden those cats are around. Same way with a lot of animals, right? Some of y'all feed some deer. They know what time it is to be fed. The ox knows where its crib is. It knows where to go home. And it says, but Israel does not know its owner. We need to remember. Instead of, you know, we run out of food, say, well, I'm gonna pull out MasterCard or Visa or debt and trust on it. Maybe we need to say, I'm going to pull out my Bible and trust on God, see if God can handle my needs. Look at Psalms chapter 50 in closing. Psalms chapter 50, verse 16, and we're closing up. But unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth? Now God's talking to the wicked here, the lost, the unsaved. He says, verse 17, seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee. Take God's word and just say, I don't have nothing to do with that. You know, God says this, God says that. I don't care what God says. It's casting my words behind thee. When thou sawest the thief, then thou consentest with him. That's Washington, D.C., and thou hast been partaker with adulterers. That's just about every kind of entertainment company you can deal with there. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thy own mother's son. Obviously, the context is Israel, talking about somebody's personal relationship, brother. But listen, I wonder what the Lord thinks about us as brothers and sisters. As brothers and sisters in Christ, when we talk about each other, as brothers and sisters, he says, thou sittest and speakest against thy brother, thou slanderest thine own mother's son. Now look at verse 21. Here we are. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. God said, I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself, but I will reprove thee. See, God's not talking. Obviously, God's not talking. And men and women, they live in sin and they do these sinful deeds. And we live this sinful life. And God doesn't immediately call us out. God doesn't immediately send lightning down. God doesn't immediately bring evil into our life. And we think, well, God just doesn't care. It says there that, I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself. And then what the wicked do, God forbids, you shouldn't do this, Christian, because you have the Bible to know God's thoughts. But what the person who doesn't know the Word of God, that's took the Word of God and cast it behind their back, what they do is they start thinking God thinks like they do. That God condones what they're doing. You're seeing that in the world today. And they start thinking that, and God says, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. God says, I'm going to straighten them out, and you'll see it with your own eyes. But look at verse 22. This is frightening. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Wow, where's that? There's that God of love. We need to consider that God's a God of judgment. We know God as that loving Father. Praise God for that. And we give Him praise for that, that we know God is that loving Father. But God's also a God of judgment. And if you're not, he's not your father, and you're not his son, and you're going to stand before him after you take your last breath, you're not going to stand before a heavenly father. You're going to stand before a God of judgment. And boy, he's going to open up all those books that are not covered in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and all your sins are going to be laid out. And it'd be just terrifying, lest I tear you in pieces. Be like you're just tore apart. Verse 23, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. We need to consider that God's a God of judgment. And if we, when we consider that, we need to consider that in our Christian lives. Say, you know, God's not happy about that. But we also need to consider that as I close and think that, hey, this God of judgment, I need to warn. First off, I need to warn my immediate family that they need Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. Then I need to warn maybe my neighbors, my co-workers, and just start going out to friends. We need to know, we need to warn the whole world that God is love. He wants to accept you as his, he wants to accept you as a child. You must accept, come that one way through Jesus Christ. But boy, if you're going to reject him and take his words and cast them behind your back and think you're going to live your life just because God hasn't put lightning down on you right now, the lightning hadn't come down on you right now, but it is coming. Hell hasn't come down yet, but it's coming. And it's like Brother Chad Reese was talking to that man out in the street there in Pensacola, Florida. I overheard him, and that guy's like, well, I don't feel like there's hell. I don't feel like there's hell. And Chad says, see, you're like on a, Chad says, you're on the second story of this building. And on the bottom floor, it's on fire. And you're looking out that second story, that window, and you can't see the fire. And I'm down here, and I'm telling you, there's a fire below you. You're going to burn. You need to get saved. And you're in that second story going, I don't see nothing. You're crazy. Go leave me alone. Do you know that guy he was witnessing to got saved? That made an impression on him. He got saved. Because he realized, just because I can't see hell beneath me, don't mean it's not there.